Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. On this episode of the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about strategy, you know, how to execute, how to define your future. Because at the end of the day, strategy really is driven and built around the vision of the company. And your ability to define a strategy, to have a team that will execute the pieces of that strategy, is absolutely critical to your success. And what I call is, you know, strategy is either executed with laser sharp, what I call rifle focus, or it's a shotgun approach with no particular process or overriding plan in place. So which is a disaster? So we talk about execution and we talk about innovation. All of these are driven and all of those are cornerstones and pieces of what your strategy is as a brand. And defining this strategy is critical. All visionary brands that I've seen and worked with all have a clearly defined strategy process in place and areas of responsibility and functional areas that execute against that strategy. And strategy has a tendency to be more top level. Obviously, it's something that you've defined specific objectives, opportunities that you see in the marketplace. And again, I say those are only as good as the paper that they're written on. You must have a strategy around how you're going to realize that vision through a strategy. And so once defined and implemented, this is where the winners, what I call the disruptors, separate themselves in the marketplace. They commit themselves to this process and they have the passion, the continual commitment to passion that flows through the entire organization and the brand. So having a clearly defined strategy around your vision is something that gives people a comfort level. You'll have the naysayers, though, that will look at a great visionary. That's a really great idea. But how are you going to realize that idea? And it's done through strategy. So this is really a critical component to brands. And many of them, believe it or not, try to build a great strategy. And it just tends to be a kind of a, what I call a hodgepodge of a bunch of different things patched together and with Band-Aids. So what I'm looking at here is really defining how important this strategy is and what the pieces of that puzzle are. It's a very big conversation around strategy, and it's really inherent around the category that you're in, the competition that you're facing, and the opportunity that you see in the future. So all of these are kind of variables to how you execute against your strategy, but I would like to kind of talk on a top level basis of, number one, the importance of a strategy and what are those pieces of the strategy you need to execute against. And if you're going to be a leader, a disruptor in your industry, one that finds continual ways to improve a process, improve a product, to make people's life better, then you need to have a clearly defined process and strategy on how you're going to execute that on a year-to-year basis. So that's really an important aspect to it. Now, I talk about leaders and followers, and we've talked about leaders, but followers are the ones who do not have or know how to either define or commit to a core strategy or don't want to commit to a core strategy. They just want to follow others. Now, there are many brands or companies, I'll call them, not necessarily brands. They're more often than not commodity brands. And they will look to others, the leaders, the disruptors, to give them the opportunity to enter a market. And those are ones that define their strategy around others' strategy. You know, how do they do it? Well, that's a great product. Let's just knock that off. So when you look at being a leader, you're independent by design. And you're interdependent within the teams that you have that are executing against that strategy. So these followers will always be out there and they're always in your rearview mirror. But don't worry about the followers. You certainly need to know what's out in the marketplace, who the competitors are. Go ahead and do your SWOT analysis. But if you're executing relentlessly and you have a defined strategy around how your brand is positioned, the community around that brand, and how you're satisfying that need, that will be something that's going to carry you for generations. So you want to make sure you understand the point of difference there and who your competition is and what they do and how they execute against their strategy and how they depend, how highly dependent they are on you to have you effectively execute your strategy so they have products to put in the marketplace. As sad as that sounds, that's normally how it's done. And so they'll always be followers of these brands, of your brand. So when we talk about executing relentlessly and we talk about strategy execution, we want to commit to a defined strategy that they are unable to make a move on. So when you go into your retailers, when you present a product, you have something to talk about. And when you look at followers, I feel sorry for them many times because when they go into retailers, they try to put product up on their website. D2C is such an important piece of the puzzle now. You need a point of difference. And their point of difference is lower price point, which isn't a point of difference. So I talk about followers in the context of how important it is for you to have a vision, number one. Number two, to execute. Number three, to have a strategy that you're going to execute against. So these are all important pieces of the puzzle. So when we talk about the importance of a strategy, we first need to understand how this strategy is built. So how do you define and execute on your strategy, allowing you to move ahead of these followers, the competitors in your particular marketplace, and stay in front of them, leapfrog in front of them, and have people evangelize about your brand and the products that you create or the service that you provide to them that makes their life easier? So, and I say first, you need to have a process within itself in developing your strategy. So again, if you look on the top line, vision, strategy, executing against that strategy. So I kind of look at this pieces of the puzzle of a strategy, let's say landscape, and what this looks like. And first and foremost, it's defining the opportunity itself. You know, whether it's a new product, whether it's a progressive update to a current product you have in the pipeline, whether it's a new innovation, whatever it happens to be, it's defining the opportunity. What I say, the what, the where, the when, how, and why. And through an ideation process, defining each one of these areas of insanely, potentially insanely great ideas, a free-flowing process behind the brand and how they come up with what these opportunities are and how you're going to execute and realize and commercialize that product. So there's a couple pieces of this puzzle that we look at. One is on the very front end of this process is this opportunity itself. So you're defining what the potential opportunity for the brand is. The second piece to that is the value creation that you're putting in the marketplace. You know, what do we need to do in order to provide a better experience? What do we need to do in order to provide a better product for somebody to be a better athlete, for instance? And then we can promote that benefit to this community. So when a strategy is built, the pieces of that strategy on the front end are, what are you trying to execute in the marketplace that's going to give you a point of difference in leadership in your particular category or product? Now, there's different types of strategy, and I'm talking specifically about where you want to leapfrog or move ahead of your competition, and what does that look like when you're putting these pieces of the puzzle together. So we talked opportunity, value creation, and then what you're doing is you're defining where that value is going to come from, you know, whether it's an industry, whether it's repositioning the brand, a product, a category, or reinventing a category, disrupting a category. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then also reaction from the industry that you need to respond to. So these are a little bit different than the execution pieces. The strategy is built around not only the industry opportunity, but also a reaction to that product in the industry to what you're going to be doing and implementing. Now, that reaction can either be something that is so far ahead of the competition that you're on the early adopter phase, where not a lot of the sales happen. It's usually a higher price point product. But as you move along the food chain, you can either draw down those technologies or have an opportunity to have incremental improvements to that product made over time. So there's different areas of value capture. So we'll talk about the industry itself. You know, how are you disrupting the industry? How are you making the industry that you work in better? And that can, again, be technology, it can be product, it can be services, whatever it happens to be, you are affecting your industry. So it's defining the impact to the industry itself. And this is all on value capture silo. And the second is the positioning. If you're a best level brand, you want to make sure that whatever you're doing from an opportunity perspective is always within the positioning that you currently have in the marketplace. So making sure that that's a defined opportunity within the positioning that the brand is in the marketplace or your category is a second value enhancement or we call capture side of the business. And then the competitor reaction, it's one that many brands fail to recognize, is that you're going to have some reaction from your brands. If you're going up against Nike and you're an apparel company and building a performance product, you can expect that if you start to become successful, you're going to have a reaction from a big brand in the marketplace. So make sure that you have that as part of your key strategy to be able to react or respond to what other people do within your category as a result of your success. So that's the third silo of strategy. And the fourth is realizing that value itself in the marketplace, which means taking this idea, commercializing this product, and putting it in the marketplace, and then communicating that benefit to your community or whoever you're targeting for this particular product, process, or technology. So it's realizing that value in the marketplace. And then as you put this in the marketplace, you want to make sure that you're understanding what this looks like as consumers use it. So this kind of performance improvement as a result, if you happen to be an apparel product, footwear product, or any other type of service, you're going to have an end result. And this kind of falls in line with social media and making sure that you're communicating with your brand advocates in the marketplace as to what the outcome and the actual performance improvements were, meaning promise versus realization of that promise. Did it realize what you had originally intended that product to do, or was it failure in the marketplace? And so you've got a couple different areas with this product that we talk about to go with this new opportunity and a strategy for commercializing it in the marketplace. And there's a couple different areas when you talk about strategy. For the first we talked about was just defining the opportunity in the marketplace, all the way from at the opportunity itself to actually it being implemented in the marketplace. So there's a lot of questions beyond execution that are really strategic. And that's what I talked about in this first piece. The second piece is defining the particular area that you want this opportunity to fall in. And what I mean by that is that you can either disrupt a market, you can bring value to a market, you can actually create a market, or you can license to a market. So there's really kind of four areas of opportunity, and it's all built around strategy and where you see this opportunity being best met and your ability to execute it within that marketplace. So there may be something, and I'll give you a great example. There may be something that you have a great idea, and it's something that's not really your core competency. Now, this is kind of more rare, but it's also something you don't want to be distracted from. So it's something that you have this intellectual property, this IP, this great new idea that's a complement to your brand. It makes sense, but you can't build it. So it may be something that you want to license to somebody else and have that as part of your IP portfolio. So that's one area. The second area would be bringing value to a current market with an idea that you have, meaning that you're complementing something that another brand is doing and effectively maybe building a royalty agreement with them and or working in conjunction with them to build it. So a lot of times the value chain is very similar to how the aerospace industry works, where you have the two biggest competitors on the planet, Lockheed, let's say, and Northrop Grumman, where they'll work together to build the F-35 fighter. And that's unheard of in most industries. You don't hear Nike and Adidas working together on a new footwear concept. But there are that come together on this, what they call this value chain. And some are good at building engines, some are good at building bodies, and when those two come together, you got a great fighter. So that's a value chain opportunity. IP is a licensing opportunity. And then you've got the ability to either replace an existing system altogether, which could be something they call architectural by nature. So something that you could actually create structurally from the top up. So this isn't really recreating a whole new process. It's just making it better. So you want to replace the existing, let's say, legacy systems with something that's new. And then the fourth piece is probably the hardest, and why there's so few of these in the marketplace, are these visionaries, these disruptors. You go in there and you completely blow up what currently is in the marketplace. Now, this is obviously something Apple did with the music industry, and I use that as an example, but there's many of these that Apple has actually created as a disruptor in the industry, and very few have done it successfully. And some may have done it, but they didn't carry it through for generations. So if you can disrupt and create a new industry and take that leadership position, that'd be a breakthrough technology that will take you for generations. And so by far, the hardest is disruption, but it's also the most important and the one that moves you the furthest ahead of your competition. But you can see here from looking at these strategic options that you've got really four that you can play with. So being able to define each one of these and know which one is best for you is clearly a strategic move on your side that you need to make sure as you do and plan your annual product releases, your updates to your current inline programs, whatever it happens to be, on your strategy, make sure you look at all of the landscape of your strategic plan on an annualized basis as to not only the opportunity itself we talked about, what that looks like as far as value capture for your consumer, your community, and then also making sure that it's right for the brand. We talk about positioning and also the changing the landscape of your industry, the service product that you have, and also the realization of that and the outcome itself as to, hey, did it perform the way we expected it to and how we promised it to our customer? So your decision on which one you go with, number one, you have a process and a plan. Number two, you have options. So you've got four different options that we talked about. You got IP, you got architecture, you got disruption, and you got value, collaborating with others to bring together a great product. So your decision is really based on how truly disruptive your idea is, how easy it is to commercialize. And also, is it part of your core competency and is it right for your brand? So this kind of this strategy process acts like a bloodline, reinvigorating everyone inside and outside the brand. And find your option, but make sure you understand the impact to the industry and how it's going to affect you long term. I want to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles. I really appreciate your time. I know that you've got a lot of other things on your plate, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to the Visionary Chronicles, so thank you. Our intent in creating the Visionary Chronicles was really to address not only critical business issues, but also personal plus professional issues that business owners, entrepreneurs face on a day-to-day basis. So if you could and you like what you hear, certainly the support helps and the reviews are tremendous. So we really appreciate all those of you who have given us reviews. And as we move forward and you give us a review, we're going to be giving away some product as a thank you for those reviews, and also take a look at the Visionary interviews, Visionary Chronicles interviews that we have coming up as well. So if you have somebody who you feel would be a good subject for the Visionary Chronicles, we'd appreciate you having them reach out to us as well. They can go to my site, Brian Smeltzer, BryanSmeltzer.com. Go to the podcast section and you'll see the Visionary interviews. So again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it as always and look forward to our next Visionary Chronicles podcast.